Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good. Well, thank you for coming early on a Monday morning to hear me present. And I'm Tanya Basta. Like I said, I'm faculty at Ohio University in Athens, Ohio. Anyone here from Ohio? Yay. Where in Ohio?
Columbus.
Columbus. Okay, close enough. And I am also the Associate Director of the Appalachian Rural Health Institute in at OU as well. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-author, Ronald Vance, over here on this paper. He will be presenting actually again at the end on some more results from a study related to stigma in the same sample. So, but I'm going to first present on HIV-related knowledge among individuals living in Appalachian, Ohio. I do not have any financial disclosures. Okay, so I'm sure this is not a surprise to anyone in the room, but I always like to start with a little bit about the background statistics. So in 2008, there were just over 1 million people living with HIV/AIDS here in the United States, and 90,000 of them were living in non-metropolitan areas at that time, so living in communities of less than 50,000 people. Also, just about 5,500 folks had received an HIV diagnosis while they were living in a non-metropolitan area, which is about 7% of the diagnosis that year. In 2005, Hall and McKenna published a paper looking at different AIDS rates across the United States, and they were particularly interested in the rural areas, and they noticed that there were increases in certain parts of the U.S., and some of those were the southeastern states, no surprise to most people in here probably, the Mississippi Delta region, the U.S.-Mexico border, and also in Appalachia. So Appalachia, for a little view, for those of you who don't or are not familiar with it, anyone in here live in the Appalachian region?
No, but I'm from there.
Okay, a couple of you, all right. So it is a very large part of the U.S., 205,000 mile square region, which includes all or part of 13 states, so it's part of 12 states and then all of West Virginia, and it does include part of Ohio and the part that I live in. There are about 23 million people living in 420 counties that are considered Appalachian, depending on where you're from, and it includes about 2 million Ohioans living in 32 different counties. So this is the region. You can see it kind of goes down from Mississippi all the way up through to New York, and Ohio here. This is Athens County, the tip there where I live, and Benton County is just down here in one of the neighboring counties, a very small little tiny county in Ohio. The red are distressed, economically distressed by the Appalachian Regional Commission, and some of the other colors are at risk, transitional, competitive, and attainment. But we're going to talk about a county today that is definitely distressed. Appalachian, Ohio, study site here, Benton County, neighboring Athens County. We'll give you some more statistics about that in just a moment. A little bit about HIV in Appalachia. There has not been much done about people living with HIV or HIV prevention in the Appalachian region. The statistics that we did have from 2005 said there were about 2,200 people who were living with an HIV or AIDS diagnosis in an Appalachian county. However, this number is not accurate because at the time when the study, they had analyzed the results, Kentucky and Tennessee still did not have name-based reporting. So these numbers certainly would be higher if those states were included. But I do have real recent statistics for Ohio. There are close to 16,000 individuals living with HIV/AIDS in the state of Ohio in the southeastern Appalachian region, the 13 counties that I kind of work in, or we work in. There were 390 individuals in 2010, which was about 2.5% of the folks who are positive in Ohio. So it's a small percentage of people, but it's certainly more than most people even would acknowledge that, that there are folks that are even positive in Appalachian, Ohio. A little bit about rural HIV research. Some of you may be very familiar with what's out there. There has not nearly been as much rural HIV-related research as there has obviously focused on the urban individuals, and of course there's a lot more folks living in urban areas. And the majority of the research that's been done that has been increasing in the rural areas has certainly focused on people who are already positive and not looking at prevention. So of the studies that are out there that have focused on looking at what needs to be done for prevention in these areas, it's certainly clear that there are a lot of unmet needs, which is probably not surprising to anybody in this room. Some of those unmet needs are lack of programs, which we know in some of the counties around Athens is a big issue, or at least lack of coordinated services. One provider not knowing what's going on at another, and a lot of people not knowing where to go to get services. Lack of funding, huge issue in these small counties, and then high levels of HIV-related stigma, which in a couple of the articles, and obviously I know from talking to people, we just don't talk about it in rural Appalachia. HIV's not here, why would that even be an issue? So there's a lot of things that we need to focus on just for prevention. This is from a nationally representative sample looking at HIV-related knowledge in 2006. The U.S. is doing better, we're doing better, but there are still a lot of misconceptions about HIV transmission and HIV knowledge. Just heartbreaking to me that 37% of the country still thought that they could get HIV from kissing somebody, 22% from sharing a glass, and 16% from a toilet seat, and this was not that long ago. So knowing that this is what nationally what the statistics were, we certainly wanted to look to see what's being done in Appalachia. And as far as I know, there was only one study out there so far, and it was done in Kentucky among probationers, men and women, and they did have high levels of HIV-related knowledge. They got 84% of the items correct. That's the only one I found so far. So what we wanted to do, given that I lived in Atlanta, so coming to Athens, Ohio is a completely different part of the world, and I wanted to start looking at the rural areas and what was going on, and I realized that most people had no idea what's going on. So the very first thing to do was to find out, what do they know about HIV? And so this study was looking at differences among men and women in their knowledge levels in Appalachian, Ohio. And I'll tell you why we chose the place in just a minute, but the health officials there wanted to know this information because they wanted to develop some educational materials and intervention materials for this area. So we identified Vinton County, like I said, smallest, most rural county in Ohio. We collaborated with the health officials to start to design a study and implement the data collection. I asked them, I said, where should I go to find people who are going to be willing to fill out a survey for me on HIV-related knowledge? And they said, you need to go to the Wild Turkey Festival. And I went, the Wild Turkey what? Okay. And they clearly said it's not whiskey-related, don't worry. So I went to the Wild Turkey Festival with a grad assistant and some undergrad assistants in MacArthur in 2009 and collected data over a weekend. And people were great. They were certainly willing to participate. And I got people from a bunch of different counties, not just Vinton County. But here's some statistics about Vinton County. Most of the people were from Vinton, but it drew from some of the other Appalachian surrounding counties. Very small, mostly white, high school graduate, many of the households living in poverty, about 23%. These statistics are not far from the ones I collected in the study. Median household income, $34,000 compared to the national average, and it is a medically underserved and health shortage professional area as well. Okay, so finally to the survey. I looked at HIV knowledge. It was a 16-item scale. I did not develop it. Ho developed it in 2006. It looked at HIV testing knowledge because they were very curious to find out what these individuals knew about HIV testing and also about specific knowledge, which was related to transmission. We also collected some HIV-related items, looking at whether or not they'd ever been tested for HIV in their lifetime or in the past 12 months, whether or not they planned to get a test in the future, whether they knew where to get a test, and if they had ever known anyone who is living with HIV or died of the disease. Okay. Oh, okay, I gotta hurry.
Yes.
Research design, cross-sectional intercept. We stopped people, we paid them $5. There were some literacy issues, but we had assistants there to help us read the questions to them, and we did do that for a few individuals, and they were still willing to participate. Our sample, 293 folks we collected data from. Demographics, we had even split, didn't plan that way, but we did with men and women. Young sample, 30, which was good because we wanted to find out what the young folks knew. We know they're at high risk. 77% were high school grads, which is a little higher than the county statistics, but only 44% were employed full-time or part-time at the time of the study. And it's probably lower than that now with the economy. HIV testing, 56% have been tested for HIV in their lifetime, which we thought was really high, and I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. You can see the rest, 33% in the past 12 months, over half planned to get a test, and the majority knew where to get a test. A third of the sample had known someone living with HIV or AIDS. Okay, so overall knowledge, 65% was what they got right if it was out of 100. Specific HIV items or transmission, and they got about 75% right, and HIV testing was only 60%. These are the items, and obviously I don't have time to go through them. We can go back to them if you want to know what they are, but they're pretty standard questions related to HIV transmission knowledge. Okay, so encouraging findings. This is always the good part. A high proportion of the sample knew that teenagers were at risk, that people can get HIV from one encounter, and that a pregnant woman can pass HIV to her baby. Those are the encouraging findings. Here come the misconceptions, and there were lots of them. Just going to highlight some. 77% of men believed mosquitoes could transmit the HIV virus. 88% believed you could get AIDS in 3 to 6 months after a diagnosis. Half believed they could take an HIV test 1 week after having unprotected sex. 71% believed that whenever blood was drawn, it was tested for HIV, and I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. And 54% did not know it took at least 3 months for HIV to be detected by a test. And then women, not as many, but 57% thought that it could be transmitted through a blood donation, and 70% believe that AIDS developed in 3 to 6 months. Okay, differences by gender, very quickly, because there's a lot on there. For specific knowledge, there was an interaction. So for women, women with higher education levels had higher knowledge levels. There were no differences for men. For HIV testing, there were two effects, a gender effect and an educational effect. So for women, they had higher levels of HIV testing knowledge than men, and among all of them, the higher education they had, the higher knowledge they had regarding HIV testing. So again, probably not really surprising statistics. But the unplanned finding that I really want to make sure I talk about, we were really kind of puzzled by 56% of the samples saying they'd ever gotten an HIV test, given that that's higher than the national average. So I went back and looked at numbers, and we decided to analyze the number of people who incorrectly believed that blood was tested for HIV every time it was drawn. There were 168 of those individuals. So of those folks, over half of them reported getting tested for HIV in their lifetime, and 30% in the last 12 months. So it's really quite possible that these folks thought they were getting tested for HIV when they were just getting their blood drawn for cholesterol or whatever. And so this is a huge issue, obviously, and something we need to attend to. So it's really possible only 24% of the sample, when I went back and looked at it, had actually had an HIV test in their lifetime, which is a lot lower than 56. So conclusions. Overall, males had much lower levels than among all of the HIV-related knowledge than women. The more educated a woman was, the higher her HIV-related knowledge, and misconceptions were pervasive, especially among the young men. Okay, final slide, implications for providers. We need to target young men and women, but specifically young men. We got to reach out to them in rural Appalachia. And really importantly, we have to educate the providers about the importance of making sure people know what their blood is being drawn for. And if they are not getting an HIV test, they need to know that so they're not telling their partners, oh yeah, I had an HIV test, I never heard anything, I must be fine. So letting them know what their blood is being drawn for. And then finally, more outreach is obviously needed in the rural areas. We just got a small grant, the Athens AIDS Task Force. Ronald and I helped write that. And there we are going to be able to expand testing into 13 counties, the Oraquick. So we're going to do that in the next year, going out to county festivals and stuff to get more people access to get tested. So.